and now your evangelist, Richard Carlson.
Let me ask you this morning to be opening with me in your New Testament to Romans chapter 12 and verses 1 and 2. Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. In just a moment, we will be reading those verses together, as we'll be studying for a few minutes this morning concerning the subject, the topic, what exactly does it mean to live for Christ, to live for Jesus? But before we get into that lesson this morning, I wanted to call your attention to an article that came out in this past week's Jackson Sun. I don't know if you subscribe to the Jackson Sun or not, but the Skyline Church of Christ in Jackson are bringing in Jeff Walling for, they call it some type of so-called unity event, and as we very well know, Jeff Walling is a well-known false teacher. He is a man that strives to push for unity between the Church of Christ and the Christian Church. And so I have the article here. If anybody wants a copy of it, we can provide you with a copy of that. But my point being this, if you happen to be in Jackson on Sunday, if you're out of town visiting, and if you're looking for a place to worship, do not go anywhere near Skyline. Skyline is not sound. Matter of fact, they could do the Lord's Church a great favor if they would simply take Church of Christ off their sign. And I say that very sadly, but that's just the truth of the matter, the way it is. But please keep that in mind. What does it mean to live for Christ? Well, it simply means to do exactly as that says, knowing that when Jesus came to this earth, that He is, He was, and always will be the perfect example for children of God to follow. In Him who did no sin, neither was guile found in His mouth, as Peter writes about in his epistle, the 1st and 2nd Peter. Knowing that during the time of Jesus' mockery, when He was spit upon, when He was betrayed, when He was denied, and even while on the cross, while He was being ridiculed, and all of these horrible things that were done unto our Lord, yes, He could have called 10,000 angels. But the Bible says, whom when He suffered reviled not. So in Romans 12, 1 and 2, Paul, in this section of Scripture to the church at Rome, said, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. First of all, the word beseech that Paul uses in verse 1 is a word that literally means I beg of you, or I plead with you. Or Paul is saying, I implore you to do this, to beseech. Well, what is the thing that Paul is desiring for these brethren to do? To be a living sacrifice, to be the right kind of example in thought, in word, and in deed. That is, we are to present ourselves before Christ as children of God. We are to live before our Lord and before our fellow man on a day-to-day basis, in such a manner that the world can see Christ living in us. We ought to be able, by the things that we do and by what we say, by our conduct, by our manner of life on a day-to-day basis. That ought to be in such close harmony with God's will that a non-Christian, that a lost person, could look at you, could look at me and say, I know this person is a Christian. I know this person is a Christian because I can tell simply by the way they live, by the way this person talks, by the things I see this person do. And so this is what it means to live for Christ, to be acceptable unto God. But then Paul said, to not be conformed to this world. That word conform is a word that means fashion. That is, as a Christian, we are not to literally allow ourselves to be molded or formed or shaped according to the pattern that the world follows. Do not be like the world, Paul said. Just because people of the world are doing all of these things that are contrary to God's will. And there are many people who do such. Look, for example, at people we know that smoke, that drink, that curse, that frequent places and go to places of business that a Christian has no business in going, to the joints and dance halls and dressing immodestly, doing all of the things that the Bible condemns. A Christian has no business doing those things or being seen in those kind of places. That is what it means to not be conformed or fashioned according to the world. But then Paul said, be ye transformed. That is, to be transformed means that we have made a change. That this is the way that maybe we used to live, what we used to do. But Paul has said, you're not like this anymore because you've learned to make this change. Well, what kind of change is he talking about? To come out of the world and to come to Christ. And to not be like the world anymore by giving obedience to the gospel of Christ. By being what God would have us to be. And for what reason? That we can prove what is the good, acceptable, and perfect will of God. As Paul would say also later on to the church of Philippi, in Philippians chapter 1 and verses 19 through 21, he said, I know that this shall turn to my salvation through your prayer and the supply of the Spirit of Jesus Christ. According to my earnest expectation and my hope that in nothing I shall be ashamed, but that with all boldness as always, so now also Christ shall be magnified in my body, whether it be my life or my death. Now, no doubt Paul, in one regard, is just like any of the rest of us. We want to stay here upon this earth as long as we possibly can. But yet we yearn and we long for heaven because we know there is something far better. We know that there is a better place. That there is a place being prepared for the faithful of God that is far greater than anything that you and I could ever imagine, knowing that Jesus said, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself. That where I am, there ye may be also. And Jesus goes on to explain how that we can know his way. And Philip said unto him, Lord, how can we know the way and the way that thou goest? And he said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. So Paul is saying here, for me to live is Christ, which is a good thing, the most wonderful thing in the world. But he said there's something better, to die is gain. But if I live in the flesh, this is the fruit of my labor. Yet what I shall choose, Paul said, I wot not, or I don't know. For I am in a strait betwixt two. Paul is saying, I am literally torn between the two, having a desire to depart and to be with Christ, which is for me. So, brethren, what do you and I live for on this side of eternity? Do we live for Jesus? Do we live in order to see how many possessions we can gain? Do we live for ourselves, to please ourselves? Are we simply trying to live in order to just play and have a good time? And there's nothing wrong with that, as long as it's the right kind of thing, but that's not the sole purpose of life. Or do we live truly in such a fashion as to focus upon the Christ, knowing that it is said in Acts 4, verse 12, that there is no other name under heaven given among men, whereby we must be saved. So if we are looking for real hope and real, and looking for the truth and looking for real life, the way, truth, and life, this is found only in Christ. You will not find it in anyone or anything else. We will not find it anywhere else. But these things can only be found in the Bible, and following the Bible, the Word of God. So then, if we live for Christ, it is because, number one, we think like Jesus. My friends, there was never any kind of an impure thought whatsoever that ever entered the mind of our Lord. Do we think upon pure thoughts? Or are we tempted by the world to think upon things that we do not need to be thinking about? Knowing that Paul also said to the church at Philippi in Philippians 4 and verse 8, finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise. Now, all of these good things that Paul just mentioned. Now, listen to what he says to do with them. He said, think on these things. And if we will make room in our minds for the things such as the fruit of the Spirit and the whole armor of God and think about those things and the Christian graces, 2 Peter 1, 5 through 7. Then we will not allow our minds to have any room to think about things that we should not think about. So do not allow our minds to be filled with the type of filth and the type of garbage that comes from certain types of music or certain types of movies or certain types of books. Be very careful of what we do with the internet. The internet is a tool that can be used for teaching the gospel. Or it can be used to further the cause of Satan. And so, friends, if we live for Jesus, we are going to have a mind that is like His. Consider, for example, that He said, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world, 1 John 2:15. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eye, and the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world passeth away, and the lust thereof, but he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. Our Lord Himself said back in John 8 and verse 29, He that sent me is with me. The Father hath not left me alone. For I do always those things that please Him. So many times we become concerned about pleasing one another, or pleasing ourselves, or pleasing everybody else. Now there's nothing wrong whatsoever in trying to get along with one another, and trying to get along with other people, because Paul himself said, if it be possible as much as lieth in you, he said, live peaceably with all men. You're not always going to be able to do that. But yet we should be more concerned about pleasing God and pleasing the Lord than worrying all the time about pleasing everybody else. And besides, if you please everybody else and everybody's happy with you and God is displeased, something's wrong, because Jesus said, woe be unto you if all men speak well of you. But then in Colossians chapter 3, and in verse number 2, to the Colossian brethren, Paul would say, set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth. We're to have our minds upon heavenly things, have our minds upon spiritual things. Not to be thinking about what we can do to further the cause of the world, but what can I do to further the cause of Christ? And so then, if we live for Jesus, live for the Christ, it means that we are going to do the very best job that we could possibly do to make sure that our mindset is like His, that we're going to think like Christ. But brethren, it also means if we are going to live for Christ, number 2, that we must speak like our Lord spoke. Go back and look at all of the things that Jesus said. Every word that He spoke is pure. And follow that example that He left for us to follow. Brethren, our words are very powerful. Our words can, they can build up or they can break down. They can put together or they can destroy. Especially when we consider in Matthew chapter 12 and verses 35 through 37. Lest we think our words are meaningless, lest we think it is not important how we speak or in all of this, listen to what Jesus said. He said, a good man out of the good treasure of the heart bringeth forth good things. And an evil man out of the evil treasure bringeth forth evil things. But I say unto you, that every idle word that men shall speak, they shall give account thereof in the day of judgment. For by thy words thou shalt be justified, and by thy words thou shalt be condemned. So, if I try to set an example before people with words that are idle, words that are empty, words that are vain, words that are useless, words that tear down and destroy, that do not build up and exhort people in the most holy faith, then I'm not speaking like Jesus. I'm speaking in a way to please the devil. I'm speaking in a way to please the world. I'm trying to make the world happy and make the devil happy, and that is not pleasing unto God. Let us think about what James said about the tongue in James 3, 1 through 10. Again, showing brethren just how powerful the tongue is. He said, my brethren, be not many masters, knowing we shall receive the greater condemnation, in many things we offend all. If any man offend not in word, the same is perfect man, able also to bridle the whole body. Behold, we put bits in the horses' mouths, that they may obey us, and we turn about their whole body. Behold also the ships, even which though they be so great and are driven of fierce winds, yet are they turned about with a very small helm, whithersoever the governor listeth. Even so the tongue is a little member and boasteth great things. Behold, how great a matter a little fire kindleth. And the tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. So is the tongue among our members, that it defileth the whole body and setteth on fire the course of nature, and it is set on fire of hell. For every kind of beast and of birds and of serpents and of things in the sea is tamed and hath been tamed of mankind, but the tongue can no man tame. Why so? It is an unruly or restless evil full of deadly poison. Therewith bless we God, even the Lord and Father, and therewith curse we men which are made after the similitude of God. out of the same mouth proceedeth blessing and cursing. My brethren, these things ought not so to be. And another thing, brethren, about our words, is our words identify who we are. Our words identify what we are. You recall that one of the things that Jesus said to Peter before he went to the cross is, before the cock crow twice, thou shalt thrice or three times deny that thou knowest me. And do you remember what Peter said? Basically, in essence, what Peter said, Lord, I will never deny thee. Lord, I'll go to prison with thee. Lord, I'm willing to even die with thee. But Lord, I will never deny that I know thee. But what did Peter do? As the people came along, this man was also with Jesus of Galilee. I know not what thou sayest. And then another one comes along and says, yes, he is one of them, for his speech gives him away. You look that up in Matthew 26, verses 69 through 75, you find the word Berea. His speech bereath him. That is, it means his speech identifies who this man is. His speech gives him away. This man is a disciple of Jesus. And Peter became so intent and so adamant in what he was saying that the Bible says that he began to curse and to swear, saying, I do not know the man. But the thing that I hear that I want us to think about this morning is, picture after Peter is through denying the Lord, the Bible says that Jesus turned and he looked upon him. Can you imagine how Peter must have felt by now, knowing that our Lord is not only looking and turning and looking at Peter, but that our Lord could see all the way through to the very depths of this man's soul and his heart and his mind. And the Bible says that when Peter had thought thereon, that he went out and wept bitterly. So, brethren, by the kind of words that we speak, by the kind of language that we use, our words identify us, and they tell people who we are, or, heaven forbid, who we aren't, that we should be. They're either used for good or used for bad. We either use words in such a way that people can identify us as God's children, but if we go out here and we do like Peter, curse and swear through the week, and we just try to be a Christian on Sunday, people's going to say, well, this person's of the world. So our words identify who we are. The brethren, we've already read from Matthew 12, 36 and 37, our words determine our eternal future also. Every idle word, Jesus said, men speak, they'll give an account thereof in the day of judgment. For by thy words thou shalt be justified, by thy words thou shalt be condemned. So, it is a sin if we use words in such a way that we gossip, if we backbite, knowing that Paul said in Galatians chapter 5 and verse 15, he said, But and if ye bite and devour one another, take heed that ye be not consumed one of another. So therefore, this morning, we have examined the importance of thinking like Christ and speaking like Christ. And now number 3, to live for Jesus means that not only are we to think like Him and speak like Him, but we are to act like Jesus. Go back again and read and study the books of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. And look at how Jesus conducted Himself perfectly in every thing that He did, every move that He made, because He is the perfect, sinless Son of God. And Paul had told the brethren again at Philippi in Philippians chapter 1 and in verse number 27, only let your conversation be as it becometh the gospel of Christ, that whether I come and see you or else be absent, I may hear of your affairs, that you stand fast in one spirit with one mind striving together for the faith of the gospel. What does it mean to strive together with one mind and one spirit in all of this for the gospel? Well, it means, brethren, that when we act like Jesus, then we will be united and not divided. God is not the author of confusion, but of peace, as in all the churches of the saints. And Jesus did not tell us to treat others the way they treat us, but He did say, therefore, all things whatsoever you would that men should do to you, do ye also unto them, for this is the law and the prophets. Matthew 7 and verse 12. And nowhere do we find that Jesus ever said to get even or try to get even, because He certainly didn't do that. But He does tell us to literally do better than what we might call the normal. Well, what does it mean for a Christian to do better than normal? Well, let me read Matthew 5 and verses 39 and 41 and 44. First, in verse 39, Jesus said, "But I say unto you, that ye resist not evil, but whosoever shall smite thee on thy right cheek, turn to him the other also." And in verse 40, He said, "And if any man will sue thee at the law and take away thy coat, let him have thy cloak also." Verse 41, "And whosoever shall compel thee to go a mile, go with him twain or two. Give to him that asketh thee, and from him that would borrow thee, turn not thou away." No one ever said that it was easy to love enemies. But Jesus said, "I say unto you," you've heard that it's been said, "thou shalt love thy neighbor and hate thine enemy, but I say unto you, love your enemies. Bless them that curse you, do good to them that hate you, and pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you." So, brethren, if we live for Christ, it simply means that our manner of life will be like His. Do you claim to be a child of God today, but yet you know that sometimes you think about things that are ungodly? Do you claim to be a Christian, but yet you know that your language is not anything like Jesus would want it to be? Considering that John wrote in 1 John chapter 1, and in verse number 6, "If we say that we have fellowship with Him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth." So, brethren and friends, if we do not live like Jesus, then we do not live for Jesus. And if we do not live for Jesus, we will not live with Jesus eternally if we do not repent and make our life right with Him. If you desire to live for Jesus and you haven't done so, obey the gospel this morning by heeding and hearing and believing the gospel that has been presented, by believing in Jesus the Christ, the Son of the living God, John 8:24, by coming in repentance of your sins, Romans chapter 2 and verse 4, by confessing that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God, as Peter did in Matthew 16, By going down into the waters of baptism and being immersed into Christ for the remission of your sins, Galatians 3:26-27, and rising to walk that life that is separate from the world, 2 Corinthians 6. If, as a child of God, a member of the church, and if you have not been living for Christ, please repent and return to Him, knowing that our Lord said, repent ye and believe the gospel. Mark 1:15. We stand very gladly and ready and willing to assist you in putting on Christ and baptism. We gladly stand ready to do all that we can to assist and to encourage you in coming in repentance of your sins, if that be your need this morning. But as Brother Craig comes to lead us in this invitation song, may we all be encouraged to ask ourselves the question, have we been living for Jesus or have we been living for the world? If you are living for Christ, continue to live for Him. If not, come and give obedience to Him so that you can and will live for Him.